Ephesians. Now, we couldn't have a sword drill if we didn't have chapter divisions, so I'm glad we have them. No, there's a lot of other reasons why. It's, a lot of times it's for reading. But you know, it says Acts 5, right? There was no such thing as Acts 5 when the Bible was written. It was just written as a letter, if you will. And the chapter divisions were added later. They're not inspired, right? And this is one of those instances where the chapter division kind of breaks things up a little bit, actually. Because we get to the end of chapter number 4, and they've been bringing their things in. They've been selling property, right? Remember we learned about that last week? Barnabas, Joseph, surnamed Barnabas. They brought their money in, and they were dividing it up and helping people. And it was kind of a time of jubilation, you know, kind of a time of excitement in the local church. I mean, look at the church is now about 20,000 people. If you do some addition on what's been happening from Acts chapter 2 onward, probably about 20,000 people. And we learned last week that there are some things about the church that should be timeless. Remember what we talked about? We talked about unity. We talked about witnessing. We talked about grace, and we talked about sacrifice and how we should see those in each church, whether it's in the first century or whether it's in our century today. We want to keep these truths moving forward. It may have seemed as we looked at that like this church in Jerusalem had everything in order. They were doing everything right. They had done everything exactly how they were supposed to. And I'm sure that was not the case, but it was what God had revealed to us in His Word. That it was exciting. I mean, you get to the end of verse number 37, having land, sold it, brought the money, laid it at the apostles' feet. I mean, there was great power. There was all. I mean, it was the momentum was moving forward, as you can see as you read through these verses, and it would give the appearance that again there was no such church like it, and it was perfect. And it was without fail, but we know today there is no perfect church. Even this church in Acts chapter number 5. And so what we want to learn from this is, yes, there is no perfect church, but we want to learn, okay, what is it that we want to learn from these verses and how can we apply it to our lives today? Well, what we can see is that Satan tried to inflict fear in the church, or persecution maybe would be a better way. He tried to persecute the church from the outside. Remember we looked at that back in Acts chapter 4 and how that they told him, don't you preach in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember they held them overnight. They threatened them. And Peter said, well, you know what? Whether it's right in the sight of God, we can't help but speak the things we've seen and heard. Remember that? And so that didn't work. But now we see Satan uses another way. Now Satan goes into the work of corruption on the inside. On the inside. So really this lesson today is not about the persecution that could come from the outside of Anchor Baptist Church. The lesson today is to be on guard and to be discerning of the corruption that could come from the inside. What's the inside? That's me. That's you. That's exactly what happened here in Acts chapter number 5. We are studying the first mention. Now remember, when you read the Bible, take note of the first mention of things. First time it's mentioned. What is this? The first mention of sin in the church. It's not the last one, by the way. Just read Corinthians, all right? It's not the last one. But it's the first one. So we really need to take note of, but this is the first mention of sin since the church has started. Was it the first sin? Of course not, but it was the first mention of sin. Now, again, as I said, about 20,000 people. I don't know how they would have met in that day. Again, I think in a lot smaller groups. But as you see, that they were added to the church, 5,000 here, 4,000 here, 5,000 here. It's approximately 20,000 people. And now we find the first sin mentioned there in the church. Let's look at an outline today. Number one, let's see the deception of Ananias and Sapphira. The deception of Ananias and Sapphira. Now, Joseph, Barnabas, if you will, at the end of chapter 4, had sold his land and given the money to the apostles for the needs of the church family. Right on the heels of that, God tells us that there was another family, Ananias and Sapphira. They too had sold a possession. And now, the interesting thing about this is that they did not give all of the money to the church for what they sold it for. That was not the problem. The problem was that they did not give it all, for we see that even Peter asks Ananias questions about that. Look at verse number 2. And kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back? While as it remained, was it not thine own? It all belonged to him. It wasn't that he had to give it all. What the problem is the perception that was made when they made the offering to the church. The perception was, we are giving it all. What is that? That's deception. What is that? That's lying. What is that? That's a big problem. Notice for me, I've written down here in my notes, notice the connection between chapter 4, verse 34, where it says, brought the price, and the connection between that phrase and the phrase in chapter 5, verse 2, which says a certain part. So one brought the price. Now, I don't know this to be true because I don't have it in my Bible, but I have a sneaking suspicion that Ananias and Sapphira saw Joseph bring his money to the altar. Don't know this for sure, but it looks like it could have happened that way. That they saw the money coming in, and you know what may have happened when Barnabas, we'll just call him Barnabas. I like the nickname he was given. I like the man of encouragement. When Barnabas brought the offering, and he was encouraging others, and I'm sure that, and it's not why he did it, because in no way does the God tell us anything about the bad spirit in Barnabas, but possibly there was some public thanks given to them. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Mr. Barnabas. Thank you, Brother B. Thank you, Brother Barnabas, for bringing in your offering today. It's going to be a great help to the ministry of the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem. And you know that's what it was called, right? The First Baptist Church of Jerusalem. And we thank you so much for bringing that in. I don't know that this happened. I'm not saying that this happened, okay? I'm just saying what would have led Ananias and Sapphira to being deceptive. I'll tell you what would have led it to that. The pride of life. These six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination unto him, a proud look and a lying tongue. You know what? I think they violated the first two of those seven deadly sins, a proud look and a lying tongue. One signifies, in chapter 4, verse 34, signifies giving all, and one signifies giving some. Now again, the sin was not in withholding some of the money. The sin was in the deception of making it appear that they had given all. Would you go with me in your Bible to the Gospel according to John, chapter number 8. John, chapter number 8. The deception of Ananias and Sapphira. John, chapter number 8. Where did they learn how to be deceptive? Where did you and I learn how to be deceptive? Did we have to be taught to tell a lie? You know the answer, right? No, you didn't have to be taught to do that. It comes natural. Why does it come natural to lie? Look what the Bible says in John 8:44. John 8:44. The Bible says, ye are of your father the who? Talk to me. Ye of your father the devil. And the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the what? Truth. He doesn't abide in truth. So what does he abide in then? Error. Anything false. Deception. When he speaketh a what? Lie. He speaketh of his own. For he is a what? Liar. And the what? Father of it. You know why it's easy? You know why it comes natural for me? You know why it comes natural for you in the flesh, okay? In the flesh, do you know why it's natural and it's easy to tell a lie and be deceptive? Because it comes from the devil himself. There isn't anything about a lie that comes from God. No, the Bible says here the devil is the father of it. How was it that Ananias and Sapphira could walk into church, no less, and be deceptive? Now, wait a minute. Before you start raining on their parade, how many times have we walked into church and acted like everything was all right when everything wasn't all right? How many times have we walked into church like Holy Joe or, you know, Sally the Saint when that's not how we've been living our life? My friends, there's no difference. There's no difference in Ananias and Sapphira than when you and I live our life that way. The deception of Ananias and Sapphira. You see, it's not a rocket science to figure out why you and I would be deceptive. You know what I would say? I would say this, that I believe truly today that Ananias and Sapphira, when they dropped dead that day, I believe they went into the presence of the Lord. I don't believe they were lost. I mean, we don't have any indication that they weren't or they were, because the Bible's very clear that even when we get saved, we are capable of sinning. Just because you're saved today and I'm saved today doesn't mean I'm going to stop sinning. Oh, but it means I should sin a lot less. You see, I'm really challenged by this today, because I want to evaluate my life, and I want to make sure that I'm not contributing to a church that is imperfect. Most people have a very easy way of identifying the fallacies in others. Let's identify the sin of our own life and call it for what it really is. It's a violation of a holy God, and we need to say, I don't want this in my life. I don't want to be deceptive. And I'm not saying that's something that you struggle with. The Bible says in Psalm 120 verse 2, Psalm 120 verse 2, deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. Deliver me from that. You see, the sin that Ananias and Sapphira committed was the sin of hypocrisy and insincere consecration to God. Do you know what hypocrisy means? I'm sorry, this is just too much to pass up on. You know what a hypocrite is? It's not someone who wears a mask. But it is. Hypocrisy is a masked person. Meaning, you don't really know who they are. They act one, and I'm not saying that in a literal sense, but I couldn't pass it up. It means they have a mask on, but you can't see it. That's hypocrisy. Acting one way to you, but acting another way to someone else. And that's exactly what happened here. They put something forward in front of everybody else when they had sat at home. I just can't imagine this, though. They had sat at home at the kitchen table and said, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it. And it's going to be, I mean, everybody's going to be patting us on the back, but we're going to have half the profit in our pockets still. Deception. Hypocrisy. Again, this isn't a pile on Ananias and Sapphira Sunday. This is, where are you and where am I in my Christian life? Where is there some insecure, insincere consecration? Where is there hypocrisy, a disguise? Where is there that it needs to go? I need to confess it to a holy God and say, God, I want this sin of insincere consecration. I don't want to wear a mask anymore. Again, I don't want to be in disguise anymore. I want to be real. This is exactly the problem in their life. Even though Satan was defeated at the cross, Satan is actively seeking to cause believers like Ananias and Sapphira to sin. He has the goal for you every day you wake up. He wants to lead you. He wants to lead me to sin every day. That's his goal. Notice, if you will, in verse number 3. Let's go back to our text. I find this to be interesting as well. When you read the Bible, read it slowly, read it meditatively. Hang on every word. Don't just read it. I mean, Ananias and Sapphira, I've been reading this story since I could read. But you know what? I've read it a little bit slower this time. Notice, but Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan, what's the next word? Filled. Filled. Go back up to chapter 4, verse 31, please. Notice, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all, what's the next word? Filled. You see the connection with that one word, the word filled. In one verse, they were filled with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God. And the Bible says that they spake the Word of God with boldness. They were filled with God's way. They were filled with God's power. They were filled with God's leading. And oh, some supernatural things happened and people got saved. And they preached a message that they could stand to step back and say, that's not me. That's the Word of God. I'm filled with the power of the Spirit of God. And in a few days later, someone was filled with another spirit. You see it? You know why we talk about being filled with the Spirit of God? What does it mean? It means to be under control of the Spirit of God. Do you realize there are two spirits that can control us? I did not say that can possess you. I do not believe you as a believer can be possessed of another spirit. God's Spirit possesses you today, but you can relinquish control of your life and follow a false spirit. That's exactly what happened here. Peter said, why hath Satan... what's the next word? Filled thine heart. You know what the problem is? The problem with Ananias and Sapphira is the problem with me at times and the problem with you at times. They allowed Satan to influence them to the point of being a hypocrite and lying to God and the church. Wow. Wait a minute though. Could that happen to you? Yes, it could, by the way. Could it happen to me as a pastor? Yes, it could. It's happened to way more influential pastors than me. Preaching one message from the pulpit and living another life. What is that? Satan hath filled thine heart. Folks, we must treat sin with the highest level of carefulness that we would treat anything. Sin is not to be played with. Sin is not to be coddled. Sin is not to be treated in any fashion for what it is. It is a violation of God. God hates it. God hates every sin that ever man could ever do. He hates it. And that's the spirit that we want to have. And the way that we can not be filled with the spirit of Satan, I'm talking about being controlled and doing... By the way, if you and I were constantly filled with the Spirit of God, we would not sin. We wouldn't. That's every day. I'm not preaching that you can live a day without sinning. I'm saying if we were controlled by the Spirit of God and be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be... filled with the Spirit. Just like alcohol controls someone, if we would allow God's Spirit to control us, would God's Spirit lead us to sin? Yes or no? No, God's Spirit does not lead to sin. God doesn't lead to sin. He tempteth no man with sin, the Bible tells us. So if we are living in deception, or if we are wearing a mask, if we are living, and not literally, okay? Hope I'm not offending you today. But if we are in disguise, you know what we're filled with? We're filled with Spirit of Satan. We're allowing Satan to control us. Oh, my friends, the deception of Ananias and Sapphira. Number two, notice the confrontation by Peter. The confrontation by Peter. But Peter said, now, how in the world did Peter know? I can only say this, that the Holy Spirit of God somehow told him. They're lying. How else would he have known? He was so filled with the Spirit of God that the Spirit of God talked to him and said, that's not all the money they made. I don't know. We don't have that. All I can say is I believe that's how he knew. I'm telling you, I don't think Peter went out on a limb and said, you know what, I don't think you gave it all. I think Peter knew. God's Spirit let him know, because we're learning something here. Look at verse 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not in thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? In other words, he's reiterating, it was yours. Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine, underline that word, circle that word, heart? heart. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately what? Wicked. It's hard to imagine this, but Ananias and Sapphira, they actually sat around the table in some way, like I was saying earlier, and because they had allowed the influence of the enemy to come into their life, because they had allowed Satan to influence them in their life. And by the way, again, I'm not saying that you can be possessed of the devil, but we can be influenced by the devil. You understand the difference? Well, I tell you what, you walk out these doors and you walk out the doors of your house. And by the way, it could be in your house or my house even too if we let the wrong things come into our house. Everywhere we go, there is the influence of Satan. Everywhere. That's why we need to be real careful what we allow into our homes, right? Because even into our home, even in our own homes, Satan wants to get a little bit of territory. Satan wants a little bit of place. The Bible says in the New Testament, don't give even a place to him. Don't even give him a little crack in the door, because that's exactly what he's after. I don't know if Ananias and Sapphira were anything other than model church members, but here God allows us to open, he opens the pages of Scripture, and he shows us something that we want to not necessarily say, wow, I can't believe someone would do that. When we see it, we want to say, by the grace of God, I don't want to ever do anything like that. And not, it's not lying about giving the thing. It's, I want to be genuine. I want to be a genuine man. I want to be a genuine lady for the Lord. It was not just a lie to the church. It was not just a lie to Peter. It was a lie to the Holy Ghost. And what does Peter say that means? This is a great verse, by the way, if you want to talk about the Holy Spirit being not just the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is God. You see it there? In verse number 3, what does Peter say? Who does Peter say they lied to in verse 3? Do you see it? Who did they lie to in verse 3? Somebody shouted out, Holy Ghost. Peter said, you lied to the Holy Ghost in verse 3. Then what did Peter say in verse 4? Who they lied to? God. Meaning what? The Holy Ghost is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. There's a great scripture for you to jot down and reference that the Holy Ghost is a person in the Godhead, meaning the Holy Ghost is God. They lied unto God, they lied unto the Holy Ghost. By the way, the Holy Spirit is not just an influence. The Holy Spirit is not just a feeling. He is fully God and is indwelling every born-again believer. And the Holy Spirit of God, as I said earlier, is guiding us to anything but error. He's guiding us to truth. Go to your Bible quickly to John 16. John 16. This is why we can verify from Scripture that Ananias and Sapphira were being guided by the enemy. They were being guided by the devil. By the way, the devil will use our own wicked, sinful flesh against us. Do you know that we are all prideful people? All of us. And sometimes the devil will take that pride and turn it around against us. We need to be men and women of humility. We need to be young people, 20 years old, 21, 17, 15, 12, 8, however many. You online today, you're still with us. Hey, everybody, you're still with us. All right. We need to be humble people. But that's not what the devil's after. The devil's after deceiving me and deceiving you. Look what it says in John 16 in verse number 13. Howbeit when he... what's the next word, church? Spirit. What's the significance about the word, the letter S? Capitalized. This is talking about the Holy Spirit. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, has the Spirit of truth come in Acts 5? Yes or no? Has the Spirit of truth come? Yes, he has. Remember what happened in Acts chapter 2? The Holy Spirit of God came like a rushing mighty wind and it filled all the house where they were. And from that point on, every believer was filled with the Holy Spirit of God, meaning possessed of the Holy Spirit of God. April of 1983, I was indwelt by the Spirit of God. I was indwelt by the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of truth had come. In Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira, again, assuming that they were believers, they had indwelling them the Spirit of truth. They had access to truth. They had access to the ability to choose, this is error, this is truth. This is wrong, this is right. Look what it says. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. He will guide you into all truth. So Ananias and Sapphira, they had no excuse for what they did. Why? Because the Holy Spirit of God was indwelling them. The problem is, once again, they were filled. As Peter said, why hath Satan filled thine heart? And to be filled is to be controlled by. Does that make sense? To be filled is to be controlled by. That means every day you have a decision. Who are you going to allow to control you? God's Spirit or the enemy? Now, if you're saved, the Holy Spirit is indwelling you. But that doesn't mean he's controlling you. You have to say no to Ben and me. I have to say no to my flesh. I have to say no to Satan. I have to say no every day. I have to say yes to the Lord. That doesn't mean I'm getting saved every day. It's saying, I want to be controlled by the Spirit of truth. The confrontation of Peter. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. The deception of Ananias and Sapphira. The confrontation of Peter. Number three, the punishment of Ananias and Sapphira. Wow. The punishment. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine being in church and somebody coming down and Peter's looking at them and saying what he said to them, and then he dies right there on the spot. Again, this is the first what mentioned in the church. Sin. Right? Hey, God is holy and God does not take sin lightly. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Galatians 6, 7. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, more of that talks about sowing unto righteousness and reaping the blessings of God. But in this case, sin was dealt with swiftly and severely. And it was directly from God himself. Right there on the spot, Ananias dies. And the Bible is very matter of fact. And of course, even in some places in the world today, there is no time for embalming. They didn't have such a thing. There is no time for this. There is no time for that. If somebody died, it's get them right in the grave. And in 3 hours' time, a hole has been dug, and Ananias has been buried. And the amazing part about this, I don't mean to be funny at all, but the amazing part about this is his wife has no idea what has happened. At least it would appear that she has no idea. She comes before Peter, and you see what happened there. Sapphira came and had the same deceiving story. Yes, that's what happened. And notice what it says, please, if you would, in your Bible, the Word of God, chapter 5, verse number 9. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? You say, wow. Why would anybody do something like that? Why do you do that? Why do I do that in 2020? What do you mean, Pastor Turner? Why would we do anything in direct violation to the Word of God? You know what we're doing? Same thing they did. We're tempting the Spirit of the Lord God. When the Bible clearly tells us, like these commandments that we're going through, when the Bible clearly tells us that the tenth belongs to God, meaning if I earn $100, that the first $10 belongs to God, and yet we still are keeping that for ourselves, then I would have to ask you this question: why are you tempting the Spirit of the Lord God? That's what they ask Ananias and Sapphira. What's the difference? There is no difference. Why have we let Satan fill our heart with deception? It doesn't matter what it's about. I'm just saying, I used to read this story and I used to think, my goodness, that just seems unbelievable. I mean, one sin and they're dead. I mean, you know, poor, I don't know who led in this thing, but, you know, poor Sapphira, she followed the leading of her husband and it killed her. There's so many things we could take from this. But it's so severe and it's so, the problem is Deuteronomy 6 and verse 16. Let's go back there quickly. Deuteronomy 6 and 16. They both tempted the Lord. Deuteronomy 6:16 says, "Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massah." Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God. It's kind of like a testing. You know, God, I'm gonna continue to live this way in sin, and let's see what happens. Would we say that in a conscious way? I would think not. But many times, many Christians today in the church are testing the grace of God, maybe, the mercy of God. Folks, sin will always be judged. Now, praise God for His mercy. Praise God for the finished work on the cross. Praise God that we as Christians, when we die, we're on our way to heaven. But wait a minute, would we want to live our life in such a way that is dishonoring or honoring to our God? We want to honor the Lord. You know what this reminds me of? I was telling Pastor Nathan this, I think, earlier this week. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. This is severe and this is swift. But look what happened in the church at Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. And if you'll pray with me about something, I know this is not part of the message, but if it is something that led to it, actually. If you'll pray with me about how we can have the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper, I'm trying to figure out how we can do it and in a safe manner. And I have an idea. I found something that I think will work, but I'm waiting and just trusting the Lord. And if you'll pray with me about that, we might have something to announce here in the next couple of days. But just anyway, look at chapter, are you in chapter 11, right? 1 Corinthians 11. Look at verse 28. The context is in the Lord's Supper. Communion. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Verse 29. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Look, for this cause, in other words, taking the Lord's Supper inappropriately, unworthily, the word is used in verse 29. What's coming? Judgment. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Remember what we talked about? I think it might have been last week or Wednesday. This doesn't mean they were taking a nap. This means they died. Why? Because they took the Lord's table unworthily. God treats sin severely. The punishment of Ananias and Sapphira. God hates sin. God hates sin in His church. Yes, these people died, and people died when they took the Lord's table unworthily. Let's finish up. Look at Acts chapter 5 again, and let's look at one more thought. Verse 11. In great fear. Yes, I would think so. In great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. Now, we could leave it there, and we will, but later on in this chapter, we're going to see how the judgment of God on sin translated into the blessings of God on the church. You see, if sin is left in the church and it is not dealt with, what happens? God removes His hand of blessing. He cannot bless sin. But when sin is dealt with in a biblical, in an appropriate manner, then God's blessing is put back on that church, that individual. The Bible says in verse number 11 that great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Heard what things? You better believe that word traveled fast all over Jerusalem. You can imagine it, right? No text messaging, no emailing, news station, just word of mouth, right? Hey, you're not going to believe what happened at church today. Oh, you were sick, you didn't make it today? Let me tell you what happened. Ananias and Sapphira, you remember them? They're dead. Why? They lied to God. They lied to the church. God killed them. Right there. Ananias, he came in, and 3 hours later, his wife came in. They're both dead. They're both buried side by side. God never intended sin to be comfortable, for people living in sin to be comfortable in the church. It started right here. So much so that in this case, God right away started out and saying, I'm not trying to be unkind, I'm not trying to be mean-spirited, but church is not a place where sinners should come and remain comfortable. Yes, sinners should come and recognize sin, recognize God loves them, and recognize they need to repent of that sin. Or else what's coming? The judgment of God. That's the thing that we find all over. And we're talking, and I'm talking, by the way, I'm talking to you today as lovingly as I possibly can, but as strongly as I possibly can, that in the Word of God, God hates your sin, and God hates my sin. Why does God hate our sin so much? Because it put His Son on the cross. Because it put the spotless Lamb of God on the cross. That lying and that sin of Ananias and Sapphira, don't point at them. Take that and look at your own life today and think, am I living a hypocritical life? I come into church or I log on to church, you're online today, and yet I have all of this sin in my life. Get it dealt with right now. Don't wait. The Lord has designed a church that non-believers would not want to belong to it because it is pursuing purity. We are not open today to hug and coddle. I know we won't be hugging anybody, but what I'm saying is we are not open to bring all of the lost in and just pat them on the back and say it'll be okay. That is not a church. Not one that fears God. Yes, we want the lost to come in. We want them to know the love of Christ. But when we know the love of Christ, we understand that we are sinners. We understand that we are condemned and we deserve hell. But only by the grace of God can we be saved. I'm not saying that we don't want to preach a message of God's love, but you cannot preach a message of God's love without preaching a message of God's judgment. Oh, my friend, today, and if we as God's people are still holding on to sin, God is not going to bless. No, the church should be a place of God's judgment on sin. It should be a place of confronting of sin. It should be a place that desires holiness. It should be a place that desires to honor the Lord. It should be a place to love the Lord. It should be a place to glorify the Lord. Oh, but no, we as God's people today, if you're comfortable living a sinful life, check your salvation. You can't live in sin and be comfortable and be saved. It's impossible. Because the Holy Spirit of God will be all over you. And you'll be chastened and you won't be able to stand it. Today is a day of recognizing there's no perfect church, but there's hope. You're not perfect and I'm not perfect, but praise God, He is perfect. And He is long-suffering, and He is merciful, but He is a God of righteous judgment. We ought to pray that God will uncover sin. Think of this. I have no one in mind, but I'm going to say this. We ought to pray as a church that God will uncover sin in the life of anyone who's a part of Anchor Baptist Church. That God will uncover it and make it known. Why? So we can throw rocks at them? No. The Bible says very clearly, he that is without sin may cast the first stone. No, Jesus didn't say throw rocks at her. He started writing on the ground and everybody else left. Where are thine accusers? Well, they're gone. I don't know why. Maybe he was writing down their list of sins. Maybe he was writing down what they had been doing. I don't know what he was writing on the ground. We'll never know until we get to heaven. Why we want God to uncover sin is so that Galatians 6, which tells us we want to restore, we want repentance, we want restoration, we want the blessings of God. And the blessings of God cannot come into a church. I don't know of anyone. I don't know of anything. I'm just saying, based on where we're at today in the text, we're just going right through Acts, that we want God to take the masks off of people who are living in sin, and only they know it. It could be someone in this room, could be someone on the live stream. I have no idea. I'm just saying, we ought to be praying, God, uncover sin and reveal hypocrites. And if I'm one, show me, please. This is not the purpose of judging. This is the purpose of repentance and restoration. This isn't so we can come down on someone and say, you are this, you are that. It's, do you know that the way you're living is not pleasing to God? And do you know that God hates sin? God loves you. Here's the way you can be restored. Here's what you need to do according to the Bible. We want to help you to get right with God. We want to help you to repent, or you need to repent, or whatever. No, I'm saying there is no perfect church, but God wants to purify His church. God wants you and me to live holy lives for His glory.